because you're not speaking. Well, hey, don't tell me I didn't say it. I stayed up last night, 3 hours. I spoke over the scenario, and when I got up in the morning, it was all the same. So don't tell me that I ain't speaking it. Oh, you did it the one time. You did it the one time, and it didn't happen. Listen, you got to be resilient, man. You got to be resilient.
Did you know that God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth? Let's worship him in spirit and in truth.
Praise the Lord, this is teacher, preacher James Ogden, and we're going to talk about, again, the Word of God. It's the Word of God that matters. It's the Word of God that changes you. It doesn't matter. Some people might be watching my show right now talking about, you know what, I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody to inspire me. I need somebody to, I feel whatever I feel. I feel like my life is down at the end and all those kinds of things. And I thank God for the privilege I have to talk in people's lives. I really do. I really, really do. But here's the thing. If I'm going to talk in somebody's life, I'm going to talk about the Word of God. I'm going to talk about the Word of God. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm not trying to, you know, to pat you on the back, say, oh, you know, or whatever the case is. Now, sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need encouragement and things like that. But I'm saying, I want to encourage you. I want you to be able to stand, man. I want you to be able to, you know, look the world in his face and say, ain't nothing you can do to me. Ain't nothing you can do to me. I want you to look at the devil in the eye and say, you're a loser. You've lost. And I'm not afraid of you. I know who I am in Christ. But the only way we can do that is by understanding the Word of God. It's the Word of God that works. It's only the Word of God that works. So we're going to get into the Word. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that I have to preach, to teach the Word, Lord. I love your Word, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you. There's been times the Word has blessed me and strengthened me. There's been times I've been greatly encouraged. And there's been times the Word made me mad, too, just because of living in the flesh or whatever the case is, not understanding you or your ways or whatever. But I thank you, Lord, that you are, that overcame the madness and that overcame the self-centeredness, oh God. Hallelujah. And you're still working on me. And I praise you for that. Teach us your word, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings 13-16, if you read it, it talks about this guy, a king, who went to a prophet, I think it was Elisha, and he was dying. And in verse 18... the king was told to smite arrows on the ground. Take some arrows and strike them into the ground. Okay. King's there. Prophet's dying. King's like, what should I do? Like, what's your last instructions before you go home? Or before you go? Prophet's like, okay, what I want you to do is go over there, grab some arrows, strike them in the ground. King said, I can do that. King walks over to the arrows, talks about, grab some arrows. Strikes them 3 times. Looks at the prophet, probably smiled, wink, like he did something cool. The Bible says that the prophet got mad. The prophet got mad. Why did the prophet get mad? He told him to take the arrow, strike him in the ground. He took the arrow, struck him in the ground. Wasn't it just symbolic? See, the prophet understood the spiritual atmosphere of what was going on. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we wrestle against. The king said to the prophet, listen, go over there. Like, they were in a battle, they were in a war, they were, you know, against people. And the king said, listen, I want you to grab the arrows, I want you to strike them in the ground. So the king went over and struck them, choom, 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 in the ground 3 times. And the prophet got mad. Why'd he get mad? He got mad because he understood the spiritual atmosphere, what was going on. He understood that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the king was just nonchalant, man. He was just nonchalant about it. He was just like, ah, take the arrows and go ch-ch-ch 3 times in the ground. And the prophet's like, that ain't enough. That wasn't enough. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus won the victory for me. I thought Jesus had won the victory. You know, I was watching this comic the other day, and he was talking about, he said, there's power in the name of Jesus. And there is, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, anyway, but that's true. And people are like, you know, I thought Jesus won the victory for it. Listen, Jesus won the victory for us. But we have to maintain that victory in our lives. We have to maintain that victory in our lives. You know, a lot of people are just sitting around talking about, oh, I just want Jesus to, you know, come on the scene and Jesus to do this for me and Jesus to do that for me and whatever, whatever. Listen, we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to fight it. It doesn't say God's going to come down and fight it for us. You know, we have to fight the good fight of faith. A friend of mine was walking home one day from school and he was always being picked on by this guy. And every day he'd go home, you know, and this guy would pick on him and beat him on the way home. One day he was walking home, and his mother was looking at him through the window, saw what was going on, saw the guy picking on the guy. And she yelled out the window, she said, boy, you better beat that. If you don't beat him, I'm going to beat you when you get in this house. Well, that was the incentive he needed to hear. Because he thought to himself, I'd rather take a beating from this guy and take a beating from my mama. I'm going to beat this guy because I ain't going to take no beating from my mama. You know what I'm saying? So that was the incentive that he needed. His mother didn't come down out of that house and, you know, go after him and go after the guy that was picking on him and beat the guy that was picking on him and all this kind of stuff. No, she said, listen, I know you can beat that kid. You have the power. You have the ability. He's picking on you. You can beat him. And so she forced his hand, and he ended up beating, you know, that kid. Same kind of a scenario. When I was younger, I was just a kid, and my cousin Billy was 4 years younger than me, and we'd hang out and stuff. And of course, 4 years back then, you know, is like when he was 8, I was 12. You know, when he was 11, I was 15. And but there was a guy that used to pick on Bill all the time, and Bill could beat this guy easily, you know. And so I'd say to Bill, why do you let that guy pick on you? Why do you let him pick on you? And one day, Bill just said, I had enough of that, you know, and had a little scrap with the guy, and the guy realized he couldn't beat Bill anymore, you know. There should come a time in our spiritual life when we recognize and understand and realize that the devil can't beat us. The devil can't win. Our greatest enemy is not the devil. Our greatest enemy is James Ogden. My greatest enemy is James Ogden, my flesh. All the devil can do is come to me and say, hey, you know, do this, do that, think this, think that. And I have a choice to do it. You know, I have a battle and a struggle sometimes with it. But I take the word of God and I come against it. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that was exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. First of all, you know, some people are like, well, the devil don't bother you. Yeah, he does. The devil bothers you. The devil tempts you. You just don't recognize it. You just, you know, one guy said to me one time, we were walking home, and we were talking about, you know, living a Christian life and stuff like that. Listen, I don't swear. I don't, you know, if I hit myself with a hammer and thumb with a hammer, I don't swear. I don't curse or whatever. I'm not bragging on it. I'm just saying, you know, it's just not in me, and I don't do it, you know. So this guy, we were talking about that, and I'm not saying that some Christians do and stuff, and I'm not saying that I'm any more spiritual or more loved than anybody else. It's just an area in my life that I have control over, that's all, you know, and thanking God for it. But anyway, this one guy, we were walking, and this one guy, he wasn't a Christian, but his family was and stuff, and we were talking about, you know, things. He said, you know, I don't think having swearing would be a problem for me. You know, not to stop swearing. He said, I don't think that would be a problem for me. He said, I could probably do that easy. And I thought to myself, or I even said to him, I said, well, yeah, that's because you got no intention on trying. You got no intention on trying not to swear. You know, it's easy to say that it would be easy for me to stop something if you have no intention on doing it. You know? You try it. You try to stop doing something. You try. If you don't believe in the devil, then you try to stop sinning on your own. See how long it lasts. You know what I mean? And even that could probably turn into pride. Oh, yeah, I stopped swearing. I haven't sworn in 10, 20 years. James talking about I couldn't do it. Man, I'm something. Man, I'm this. Man. But then now you're all full of pride. You know? So anyway, so the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought into the means of Christ. If you got to bring into captivity something, what do you got to do? That's a struggle. It's a struggle. You got to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. These thoughts that you got. I mean, there's somebody watching right now. You're having all kinds of thoughts, and you're thinking, "Well, it's the devil," and you know, and I can't go in. And yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. There was a time I had all kinds of thoughts going through my mind. All kinds of. Listen, I've never been suicidal. Never, ever. Never been to a place in my life where I thought I want to kill myself because of depression and anxiety. But I've been in a scenario years ago where I was living in Toronto, waiting to go downtown. I was going to school, going to college there, and all of a sudden the subway was coming. I was standing, dealing, just a normal day, dealing. And all of a sudden, man, this overwhelming urge came over me to jump in front of that subway train. Why? I was married. I had a couple of kids. I was happy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I wasn't discouraged or anything. It was really bad, really strong. You know, almost like I had to hold on to something before so I wouldn't do it. And the devil was saying to me, "You're going crazy, man. You're going crazy. You're losing your mind. You're going crazy. You're just crazy. You're going crazy. You're losing your mind. You're going crazy. You're, you know." And then he tried to do it, you know, in other areas of my life. When I was driving on the highway, take that car and running into oncoming traffic. And I'm thinking, where are these thoughts coming from? And people are like, "Oh, yeah, but they're just thoughts." Yeah, but they're more than thoughts, though. They're more than, they're like, it was physical to me. You ever walk across a bridge and you can feel your body jumping over it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know there's some people that won't admit to it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. But you ain't crazy. And so the Bible says we have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. And you know what I had to do? I had to bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. I said, devil, that's you. That ain't me. You know, I resist you. And it was a struggle, and it was a battle for a while, but I won, and I don't think those thoughts no more. You know, years ago, I mean, after that struggle was over, years ago, I was walking across this bridge, and there was a jump. I said, "You jump. I'm going across this bridge." You know what I mean? So you have to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I will not be jealous. I will not be envious. You know, if you got spirits, you know, of deliverance that you got to have, you know, be delivered from, you look in the mirror and you point at yourself in the mirror and you say, "Devil, I command you, you spirit of envy, you spirit of jealousy, I command you to come out of my body. I will not think these thoughts. I will not control my, you know, you will not control me," and all these kind of things. You know, and so you got to do what you got to do. Amen. Do it till it's done. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Anyway, hallelujah. The problem is God has given us the power and authority over all the power of the enemy, but we don't use it. We don't use the authority that we have. I found out something on my tablet the other day that was so cool that I didn't know I could do. Maybe somebody watching, you know, I got a tablet, and you know how I got this Bible app, and in the Bible app I can highlight stuff or I can make notes. So when I press the thing to make notes, this little keyboard thing comes up, and I click on it, click, you know. Just, you know, typing in stuff, whatever, right? Whatever thought. But there's another little thing that I press. And I can actually write it with my finger. I can write. And it'll type the things that I'm writing. So I don't have to type. I just write it. I didn't know I could do that. I had a tablet for a year or more. I didn't know I could do it. I thought, man, that's the coolest thing. You know? And that's the thing about our authority. The thing about our authority is we have so much authority, we don't even know how much authority we really have, man. You know, the devil doesn't want us to think we have any authority whatsoever. The Bible says we have all power over all the power of the enemy. Matter of fact, Jesus said, greater works. He said, "I go to my Father." He said, "So greater works you're going to do than I did. Greater works." And Jesus walked on water, cast out devils, cursed fig trees. He died, you know, healed the sick. You know, we're going to do greater works than those. We'll do those and greater works, you know. But the reason why we don't is because we don't understand the authority that we have. We don't understand the authority that we have. James 4:7 says, "If we submit ourselves to God, we resist the devil will flee from us." The devil will flee. It says the devil will flee from you. Who does it say that the devil will flee from? It'll flee. He'll flee from us. He'll flee from you. Not him. Not God. Oh yeah, ultimately he's fleeing from us because of God's authority. I understand that. But he's fleeing from the authority because of the authority that we have in Christ. He'll look at us and say, "Man, I can't beat James. I can't get James. I've been trying. I can't get him because he's just reading the Word. He's just speaking the Word. He's just acting upon the Word. He's just believing God. He's just standing on the Word. I can't get him. I can't get him. Because I'm standing on the Word. That's what you need to do. You need to learn how to stand on the Word of God. You need to resist the devil. Never mind, you know, calling a pastor up and talking. And it's not wrong to call the pastor. Don't get me wrong. Never mind relying on somebody called. Anyway, never mind relying on other people to do things that you're supposed to do. You know, people call me sometimes, want me to do things that they're just supposed to do. You know, because I'm a teacher, I'm a preacher, you know, I'm a Christian. No, I'm not going to come over and mow your lawn if you have to go to mow the lawn. Your grass is going to get up to your neck before I come over and mow that lawn. You know what I'm saying? If you're just being lazy and whatever, your lawn's not going to get mowed. Now, don't get me wrong. I do things for people. I go out of my way for people. But I'm just saying. You know? And so anyway, James said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Mark 11:23 says, Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, who does it say that does it? Does God speak it out of our mouth? Does God come down and say, stand back, James, I got this. Mountain, be gone in my name. So that James can go through. No. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe in those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. We need to say it. We need to start speaking it. Well, man, James, you know, things ain't happening. That's because you're not saying stuff, man. It's because you're not speaking. Well, don't tell me I didn't say it. I stayed up last night, 3 hours, I spoke over the scenario, and when I got up in the morning, it was all the same. So don't tell me that I ain't speaking it. Oh, you did it the one time. You did it the one time. And it didn't happen. Listen, you got to be resilient, man. You got to be resilient. The devil knows. The devil knows that if he's tempted you in the past and you ain't stood more than one day, the devil's like, all I got is a day and a half. And I got him. But all of a sudden, when he sees you standing 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, the devil's like, man, you know, I won't be able to win over this cat if he keeps doing it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Kings 13 and verse 19. 2 Kings 13 verse 19. See, the king got mad because the prophet got mad because the king should have took them arrows and he should have stabbed them and stabbed them and stabbed them and stabbed them. Like he should have done it like he meant it. He should have done it like he meant it. You know what I'm saying? Ever get so mad that you just, you know, come up to a punching bag and you're just so mad, just bam, 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 until you can't do it no more. That's what the king said. That's what the prophet said to the king. You should have done it like that. He said, you should have been aggressive. You should have kept doing it. He said, but because you only did it 3 times, you're only going to have 3 victories over this nation, and then they're going to be paying your neck, paying your side for the rest of your life, whatever. And that's what God's saying to us, man. That's what God's saying to us. We got to get serious about. Listen, I used to have gout. I used to have gout so bad that it would literally cripple me for a week, 2 weeks. I'd be in bed, could hardly move. You know, I'd have to take my foot. It'd be so bad, one of my foot or my legs, and I'd have to take one of my feet, and I'd have to lift it up and move it around like that. And you talk about hurt. You talk about hurt. One time I had it alongside of my bed, and my son and my daughter, we were watching TV, and I had it alongside of my bed, and it fell off the bed and was just hanging there like that. Oh, my goodness. I started yelling and screaming. My kids were looking at me, you know. And I'd go to the hospital, and they'd give me pills and stuff. And I'm not saying it's wrong to take pills. I'm not saying that. But anyway, for me, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to take the Word of God, and I'm going to speak over this. Now I take pills for other things, you know, whatever. I used to be on 5 different pills. Now I'm only on one, and it's not a gout pill. And I'm only on one, and I'm going to get rid of that. But I'm saying, and I could have been over that years ago, but that's another story in itself. But I'm saying, when it comes to gout, I just said, I'm not going to take any, you know. And of course, I read online, and you know, it was telling me, you know, this could happen, that could happen, whatever. And I just said, I'm believing God. I'm just believing God. So it would go away, and I'd be walking around, I'd be cool and stuff, you know. And then I'd say, well, thank God, God healed me, you know. A couple days later, knee bad again, foot, you know, and the devil. I thought God healed you. And God did heal me. And I'd stand on it. And then a couple days later, we'd go. You know, now, if I feel it come on, I said, no, I ain't taking it. I ain't standing on it, and it doesn't come. Why? Because the devil knows if you're serious or not. The devil knows if you're serious. You know, you got to take the word of God, you got to stand on the word of God, and come hell or high water, you got to believe God until you got the victory, man. You got to strike them arrows in the ground, you got to take the word, and you got to strike it against it, and you will have the victory.